And thank you, Peter and Victor, for the very kind words of welcome returning this morning to Lisburn Baptist Church. A joy to be with you and share around the Word of God this morning. I'm inviting you, please, to open your Bible with me in Psalm 22, the 22nd Psalm. Psalm 22, and we're going to read down as far as verse 18. Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he who that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all that my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stir upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. And amen. God always blesses to us the reading of his sacred word. Already this morning we heard a reading from the book of the Psalms, and undoubtedly the book of Psalms is one of the most favorite books for all Christians all over the world. It is not only the central book of the Bible, it is the largest book of the Bible. Someone has said that the Psalms stand like a mountain range in the middle of the scriptures, 150 peaks. But as in all mountain ranges, why, some peaks are a little higher than others. And that is why just about all of us have our favorite Psalms. Undoubtedly, Psalm 22, 23, and 24 reckon amongst those favorite Psalms. These three Psalms form for us a little trilogy. Psalm 22 is all about the Good Shepherd giving his life for us. Psalm 23 is all about the Good Shepherd living, caring for the sheep. And Psalm 24 is all about the Chief Shepherd who, thank God, will come again. Psalm 22 is all about the cross, the grace of our Lord Jesus that was demonstrated for us when he gave his life for us. Psalm 23 is all about the crook, the shepherd guiding his sheep. And thank God he is the one who leads us in the paths of righteousness. But Psalm 24 is all about the crown, the glory of the coming King, our blessed Lord Jesus. And undoubtedly, these scriptures were used by our blessed Lord Jesus when the Bible tells us that he opened to that couple on the road to Emmaus the scriptures and revealed all things concerning himself. These little psalms are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Psalm 22 and Isaiah chapter 53 were at the heart of Isaac Watts, when he wrote that great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." This psalm is all about the cross of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, right at the beginning of the psalm, we have the very words that our Lord Jesus cried in the darkness upon the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This rhetorical question, cried in the dark, indicates something of the depths of the agony of our blessed Lord upon the cross of Calvary. And yet, when you take that first verse and compare it with the last verse of Psalm 22, it is an amazing. The last verse reminds us, it says, "They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this." The word "hath done this" means he has finished this. It reminds us that while the psalm opens with a sense of abandonment, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" the psalm closes with a sense of accomplishment. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And therefore, this psalm is not only all about our blessed Lord, but it's all about the cross. All about our blessed Lord giving his life for us at the cross of Calvary. And that is why we gather on a Lord's Day morning to worship him. Why? Because he is worthy. He is the one who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own precious blood, and made us to be kings and priests unto our God. He is worthy this morning. As a matter of fact, when we come to this Psalm 22, it is one of the great psalms of the Bible that indicate to us the veracity of God's word. I say the veracity in the sense of the authority, the inspiration of God's word. This is the inspired word of God. When we read these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" some people say that on the cross, our Lord Jesus, knowing the scriptures, was quoting the words of David. On the contrary, it is David who was quoting the words of Jesus. This little psalm was written 1,000 years before Calvary. And in the psalm, why, they tell us there are some 33 prophecies all about our Lord, and all of these prophecies were fulfilled within 6 hours on Calvary's cross. 3 hours in the daylight and 3 hours in the darkness, and yet the word of God written 1,000 years beforehand was fulfilled in that period of time. Isn't that just amazing? It is said of the Egyptians that they said, "We built like giants, but we finished like jewelers." My friend, in the great panorama of God's plan of redemption, it is amazing the detail that is given to us in this little psalm. For example, when it says there, that word that they pierced my hands and my feet, that is in verse 16. Back 1,000 years before Christ, that just didn't happen. Crucifixion only came by the Romans. It was the most torturous form of execution invented by the Romans. And yet, here 1,000 years before Jesus came, he speaks of being crucified, his hands and his feet, the Roman form of execution, indicating to us some of the detail that was given to us. Why? Because God is in control. It is God, my friend, who was planning, had planned redemption. It is our blessed Lord who came to fulfill the paths, fulfill the word of the Father. That is why in this psalm we most certainly do have the prophecies that were fulfilled. We have the pathway that our Lord followed, the pains that he felt. Oh, what a psalm. The psalm in outline, and we're not going to do all of this morning, you may be relieved, but it takes in, first of all, what we might call the prophecy of the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as I've already indicated, it goes into minute detail of the things that happened during the 6 hours of our blessed Lord on the cross of Calvary. But it's not just the prophecy of the cross, amazing as that may be, But it's also the agony of the cross. Not only that sense of desertion by the Father, but to be derided by men, mocked. And oh, the piercing. Oh, I'll tell you this morning. We can never gauge the depths of suffering of our blessed Lord Jesus. Oftentimes when we speak of the cross, we speak of the agony, the sound of the hammer on the nails, piercing the hands and the shunt of the spear into his side. But my friend, if we could look in the windows of the soul of our blessed Lord Jesus, when he who was spotless, sinless, who did no sin, yet the sin of the world was laid upon him. We can never understand that agony, that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. In that hour of darkness, when he cried out to heaven and the Father, the Bible tells us, forsook him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you this morning. The physical agonies of our Lord are incalculable. But when we compare them with the spiritual, the personal suffering of our blessed Lord Jesus, oh, the agony of the cross, the prophecies of the cross, the agony of the cross. But thank God this little psalm finishes in the victory of the cross. For the people who knew him not shall know him, and they shall say, he has done it. There is victory. Thank God this morning as we sing in the hymn, there is victory in the blood of our blessed Lord Jesus. The resurrection is a result of the finished work of Calvary. The Bible tells us over there in Hebrews chapter 13, that the great shepherd of the sheep who was brought again from the dead, how? By the blood of the everlasting covenant. He is that great shepherd this morning. I invite you, please, just for a few moments this morning to look at some of the prophecies of the cross. I said there are 33 of them. You'll be relieved that we're not going to go down all of those. But let me take them as our time allows this morning. And first of all, we are going to what we might well call the prophecy of the dereliction of our blessed Lord in verse 1, when it cries those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are the exact words that Jesus spoke upon the cross. I say spoke. The Bible reminds us here that his speech was as the roaring. He said those words, I cry in the daytime and thou hearest not. So far from helping me and from the words of my roaring. We were not there in that hour of darkness to hear our blessed Lord. But for 3 hours, the Lord Jesus was on the cross and 3 sayings that were given. He commended his mother to John. He prayed for forgiveness for those who had pierced and crucified him, for they knew not what they did. He gave a promise to the thief who called, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But after 3 hours, darkness fell upon the earth. And the Bible tells us that in the darkness, our blessed Lord cried out, my God, cried, roared, why hast thou forsaken me? You'll find as you read down through the Gospels, our blessed Lord constantly said that I work and my Father worketh hitherto. He constantly reaffirmed that I do because the Father is with me. But here now is our blessed Lord feeling that sense of abandonment. And I don't know about you, but I think it's amazing that he just didn't cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? You remember that the Bible teaches us of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is God of very God. He was God manifest in the flesh. He went to the cross. He was still God on the cross. But in the Trinity, there is a Father and the Holy Spirit. He was not only crying out to the Father, but in that hour of bewilderment and desertion, crying to the Trinity in heaven, crying to the Father and the Holy Spirit, deserted, abandoned. And all of that so that he might give the promise that we would never be abandoned. He gave the promise that he would never desert us. I wonder what you would feel if in life you felt that you were all alone. No one cared. No one understood. No one answered your cries or your roaring. My friend, in the intensity of the agony of our blessed Lord, as he was made sin for us, we cannot understand why, but he says this word as he cried out, I have cried in my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime and thou hearest not in the night season. Why? Because thou art holy. Suggesting to us it was in the very hour that Jesus was made sin for us. It's amazing that prophecy was fulfilled to the very word. The prophecy, I say, of desertion. Would you look at the prophecy of what we might call the prophecy of the darkness at the cross? It says in verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I'm not silent. Now, remember, this was written 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus came into the world. Not only written 1,000 years before he came, but 1,000 years, how could they ever picture him going to the cross? And how could they ever give the detail that while he would be 6 hours on the cross, there would be daytime and nighttime? And yet it happened. Our blessed Lord Jesus was on the cross from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. When they lifted him up upon that cross, my friend, the Bible tells us here in this psalm, they gaped upon him, gazed upon him. They cried against him. In the daytime. But when noontime came, my friend, a curtain was drawn over the sun, and the Bible tells us that a great darkness came over the earth. And we know that in those hours of darkness, our blessed Lord cried those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was in that darkness that he cried out, I thirst. In the darkness, he said, it is finished. In the darkness, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But in the detail of prophecy, it indicates to us that the hours in the cross would be balanced between daytime and nighttime. Don't you think that is amazing in the Word of God? That should be prophesied 1,000 years beforehand. My friend, it reminds us that our God is absolutely in control. I find it quite amazing that the sun that shines in our sky, my friend, has witnessed many terrible things upon our earth. War, even at this very time, war and brutality, the things that are happening to boys and girls. What is happening to the earth itself as generation after generation is raping the very creation. And yet for all of the brutality and immorality and badness that happens on the earth, the sun still shines every day. But when the Son of God, the creator of the sun itself, was nailed to the cross, my friend, darkness came upon the sun at noonday. Why? Because so immense was the work of our blessed Lord Jesus. Oh, the prophecy of his desertion, dereliction. The prophecy of the darkness that is another. Would you look at the prophecy of what we might call the derision? Look at what it says in verse 6 and 7 of this Psalm 22. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Don't you think that these words seem to have been written in the very shadow of the cross at the very time it was happening? Because that is exactly what happened. Listen to what it says over there in the book of Matthew. It says, and Matthew 27, 39, and they that passed by reviled him, saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also cried the priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, and saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. He being the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. They derided him, despised him. The word they're despised is they treated him as a criminal. Isn't that what they did to our blessed Lord upon the cross of Calvary? And of course, Isaiah echoes that when he wrote the words, for he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The amazing thing about this prophecy of derision and mocking and scorning is simply this, that they were fulfilling the very scriptures that were prophesied about them 1,000 years beforehand. That is, in fulfilling that prophecy, they had nothing to gain. But it was indicating that God was in control. Isn't it true what the Bible tells us, that God can make the very wrath of man to praise him? My friend, that gives us confidence in our day. We're living in a day of derision all around us. It seems to be that they want to take God out of everything, abandoning the laws of God and the ways of God, and abandoning the ways of morality. But it reminds us, my friend, that God had planned it this way. He was absolutely in control. And the very enemies of Christ were fulfilling the word that God had spoken. Why? Because God was not only planning the future, God was in the future. God was controlling the future. And my friend, can I say that's exactly how it is in our day, in this our nation? It seems to be, as we read in this psalm, that the bulls of Bashan are roaring all around us. The dogs are wailing all around us. But remember this, our God is still in control. The prophecy of desertion, the prophecy of the darkness, the prophecy of the derision, the prophecy of our Lord's devotion. Listen to what it says in verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Does this not remind us of that hour that tells us over there in John 19, 34, when it says that one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced his side. And forthwith there came out blood and water. This, they tell us, was the pericardium, the fluid that surrounds to protect the heart. And as they pierced the blessed heart of our Lord Jesus, Jesus himself said those words that he was poured out like water. Aren't you amazed at the detail that was given about the cross? And yet we shouldn't be, because the Father planned it all. This is the path that the Savior trod. We could go on with this morning, not only the devotion of our Lord, but think of the dislocation of his bones. The Bible tells us, listen to what it says of our Lord Jesus in verse 14, all of my bones are out of joint. What does that mean? Well, perhaps unrelated is Josephus, the great Jewish historian. He told us that in the Roman form of execution, the prisoner, in this case, the Lord of Glory, was laid down upon the cross. The Roman soldiers would take the hammer and spikes and pierce the hands, the wrists of our blessed Lord, and then they would pierce his feet. And once he was secured to the cross, they would lift up the cross and into a hole that was already dug, they would throw the cross. And as that cross was shunted into the hole, why, every bone was put out of joint, as the one who suffered and hung upon the cross, why, pain was writhing through the body. And yet this was told 1,000 years before it ever happened. This is the path that Jesus came, the path that was planned by the Father when he said that all of his bones were out of joint. Why? Because the bones were taken from the socket and twisted in the body, adding to the pain of the crucified Christ.
our time is gone, but think of the dehydration of our Lord. It says in verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. A potsherd is a pot, but it's broken. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Did not our Lord Jesus cry, I thirst? My friend, he is the one who created the oceans and the seas. And he is the one who gave to us the mighty rivers of our world. He created all of the water, and yet the mighty creator on upon the cross was thirsting. He's the one who gave living water to the thirsty woman of Samaria. And thank God he satisfied all of us this morning with that living water. The Bible tells us in the last chapter of the Bible, come unto me and I will give you water. You'll never thirst again. And yet he cried, I thirst. Why did he cry it? He cried, I thirst, that we might never thirst again. Dehydration. We don't have time now, our time is gone, to speak of this disrobing of our Lord. Let me just point it out to you. Verse 17, when it says of him, I tell all my bones, they look and stir at me, they part my garments among them. What does that mean, my friend? It means that they've taken the garments from our Lord Jesus. They tell us there were four pieces of garment, four outer, and then the inner robe that was a seamless robe. And as the soldiers disrobed him, our blessed Lord not only took all of our sin, but the shame of our sin, as he was stretched upon the cross. My friend, this was God's altar. This is God's sacrifice. He is our Passover. He's the one who's made peace with God for us. And yet they disrobed him, and out came the dice as they gambled for his garments. And the dice was thrown, and they parted amongst them the garments of our blessed Lord. But on that tree this morning, Christ hung for us. I'm amazed not only at the authority, the inspiration of the Bible, but the unity of the Bible. Old and New Testament testify to us all about the Savior. There is only one hero in this book, and that is Jesus. There is only one villain in this book, and that is Satan. There's only one message from this book, and it's that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Why? Because he died for us. That is the purpose for which he was sent into the world. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, it was ordained before the foundation of the earth. So we may be amazed that this was written 1,000 years before Jesus came. But my friend, it was planned before God ever made the foundations of our world. That is why I say this morning, the cross was central in the Father's heart. It was central in our Savior's thoughts. It is central in the message that we preach. We preach Christ and him crucified. When I open my Bible in Revelation chapter 5, I find that the crucified, now risen Lamb is in the midst of the throne. And the cross will be our song throughout all eternity. Heavenly Father, we ask of thee this morning that you will take these random thoughts as we've meditated upon this marvelous chapter of the Word of God. And we pray that you will lead us to the Savior we ask. Bless thy word to every heart, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.